Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Jashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jamunati Ravanachari Jamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Jashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jamunati Ravanachari Jamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Na Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Jai Gauda Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gauda Hari Bo. Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvrajakachara Stoltada Satya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Skand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Pramsa Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivazadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakund, Radhakund, Girigovardhana ki jai, Shri Vrindavan dam ki jai, Mayapur Navadweep dam ki jai, Ganga mai ki jai, Jamuna mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Shishi Radha Vrindavan Bihari ki jai, Shishi Radha Madana Mohan ki jai, Govardhaniko Village Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhulle. Shimari Radhana Swaminiti Namani Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhulle. Shimari Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nivishesha Shunyavari Pascha Chadishatarini. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's a foggy morning. My brain is very foggy. My heart is very foggy. And outside it is also foggy. And we're going to read about the movements of the sun. So hopefully by reading about the movements of the sun will manifest and dissipate the fog within my heart, within my mind. Maybe all of you are already shining with the light of the sun, Krishna, within your heart. So for you, it's already there. I'm getting the sun coming from you directly, Prabhu. So perfect. Okay, so we're going to read today from the Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading from the fifth canto, chapter 21, entitled The Movements of the Sun. And we'll be reading a series of verses from text 4 up to text 11. There are two short purports, and the verses are in prose, which means that there may be a meter, but it's very difficult to know what that meter is. So I will not read the Sanskrit. Please forgive me for that. But I would just read the translations and then speak on verse number 11. You did put it up there. Okay, but it's okay if I don't do it? Yeah, for sure? Okay. Okay, so before I begin, I would first like to seek blessings of all of those of you who have assembled here today to hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you see fit to please bestow your mercy upon me so that I can speak something relevant and bona fide from the pages of this most exalted scripture, the Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. Only by the mercy of Vaishnavas is anything possible, so I am therefore seeking your blessings. Hare Krishna. So we'll begin with the invocation. You can please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 4. When the sun passes through Mesa, which is Aries, and Tula, Libra, the durations of day and night are equal. When it passes through the five signs headed by Vrishabh, Taurus, the duration of the days increases until Cancer. And then it gradually decreases by half an hour each month until day and night again become equal in Libra. So I request everyone to please pay attention very closely. There will be a short quiz at the end, and no one will get any prasadam unless you pass the quiz. So that depends very much on you paying very close attention. And the quiz will be on very minute details. Okay? So everyone can pay. So I hope you got the first verse already. Everyone's understood? Yes? Okay. Text 5. When the sun passes through the five signs, beginning with Vrishchika, Scorpio, the duration of the days decreases until Capricorn, and then gradually it increases month after month until day and night become equal in Aries. You got this? You're good? Yes? Okay. Text 6. Until the sun travels to the south, the days grow longer. And until it travels to the north, the nights grow longer. So remember, this chapter is entitled The Movements of the Sun. So are there any astrologers here? Okay. All right. Anyone here has ever seen the sun? Yes? Okay. So by seeing the sun, you know that it starts on the horizon and starts in the east, sets in the west. We know the basics about it, but the exact constellations, that it moves through, we may not be aware unless we're actually versed in astrology. So all of this is being described here perfectly. Text number 7. Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, as stated before, the learned say that the sun travels over all sides of Manasotara Mountain, in a circle whose length is 95,100,000 yojanas, which equals 760,800,000 miles." That's a little difficult to conceive, but we can say it's very, very wide. On Manasotara Mountain, due east of Mount Sumeru, is a place known as Devadani, possessed by King Indra. Similarly, in the south is a place known as Samyamani, possessed by Yamaraj. In the west is a place known as Nimlochana, possessed by Varuna. And in the north is a place named Vibhavari, possessed by the moon god. Sunrise, midday, sunset, and midnight occur in all those places according to specific times, thus engaging all living entities in their various occupational duties and also making them cease such duties. So what we're being given here is a map of, I guess you could say, the universe, different levels, spaces within the universe, the residences of different demigods, and also an understanding that with the rising and setting of the sun each day, we begin our activities and we conclude our activities. For the devotees, their activities begin just before the sun comes up and end theoretically when the sun goes down. For the materialists, their activities really begin as late as possible, and they go on as late as possible, right? I don't know if anyone here has that experience in material life. The idea was get out of bed at the last minute, as late as you possibly can, and then stay out very late at night, as late as you possibly can. Anyone had that experience? Yes, okay. I'm not alone. That's good. All right. Texts 8 through 9. The living entities residing on Sumeru Mountain are always very warm, as at midday, because for them the sun is always overhead. Although the sun moves counterclockwise, facing the constellations, with Sumeru Mountain on its left, it also moves clockwise and appears to have the mountain on its right, because it is influenced by the Dakshinavarta wind. People living in countries at points diametrically opposite to where the sun is first seen rising will see the sun setting. And if a straight line were drawn from a point where the sun is at midday, the people in countries at the opposite end of the line would be experiencing midnight. Similarly, if people residing where the sun is setting were to go to countries diametrically opposite, they would not see the sun in the same condition. Everybody's got that? Nod your head if that makes perfect sense. Okay, Mataji is saying no chance. The basic thing is right now the sun has come up here, yes? But in Los Angeles, the sun is just setting. It's going down. In Australia, I'm not sure what's happening because it's always too difficult for me to calculate what's going on there. But somewhere else on the planet, when the sun is setting, the sun is rising in another place. And their experience is completely different. Although there are many different things that could be explained here. Text 10. When the sun travels from Devadani, the residence of Indra, to Samyamani, the residence of Jamaraj, it travels 23,775,000 yojanas, which is equal to 190,200,000 miles. In 15 gatikas, which is equal to 6 hours. Now, we generally, at least in the West, we measure, here you do in miles per hour or you do kilometers? You do kilometers, okay. I'm American, unfortunately. We missed the whole metric system program. So I'm looking at miles per hour, like when you drive down the road, what's the speed limit here to drive? I mean, you don't have a speed limit, right, in this country. It's like blow your horn, go as fast as you can. But generally, what's the speed limit? 60, how many kilometers? 90 kilometers an hour, something like that? Huh? 80? Yeah, about. So 80 kilometers an hour. Now if we translate this, we'll do it in miles. In miles, it's about 65 or 55 miles an hour is pretty fast. If you go 70, you know, 80, you're starting to push it. Prabhupada used to say to his drivers, he'd bang the canes, slow down, you know, we're going too fast. So in 6 hours, the sun moves 190,200,000 miles. So divide that by six, any mathematicians? And that means the sun is moving buku fast, so fast. It is moving like, I don't know, six, probably 3 million miles an hour. 32 million, thank you. 32 million miles an hour. Anyway, interesting. Okay, so there's a purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, the distance indicated by the word sadikani is pancha vimshati sahasradikani, or 25,000 yojanas. That plus 2.5 crores and 12.5 laksha of yojanas is the distance the sun travels between each two cities. This comes to 23,775,000 yojanas, or 190,200,000 miles. The total orbit of the sun is 4 times that distance, because 6 hours is only 1/4 of a day. So that's only 1/4 of the sun's journey. Each day it's going 4 times that. And then anyone can tell me the maths? 4 times the numbers that I just read? 190,200,000 times 4. Prabhuji? Knock it out. You're the mathematician, no? Look at him, he's reading the purport, Baba. So it's 95,100,000 yojanas, or 760,800,000 miles, okay? So that question will be on the test at the end of the class. Okay. Text number 11, and please forgive me, it is on the board, but I'm not going to read the Sanskrit. From the residence of Yamaraj, the sun travels to Nimlochini, the residence of Varuna. From there to Vibhavari, the residence of the moon god, and from there again to the residence of Indra. In a similar way, the moon, along with the other stars and planets, become visible in the celestial sphere and then sets and again becomes invisible. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita 10.21, Krishna says, Nakshatranam aham shashi. Of stars I am the moon. This indicates that the moon is similar to the other stars. The Vedic literature informs us that within this universe there is one sun which is moving. The Western theory that all the luminaries in the sky are different suns is not confirmed in the Vedic literature. Nor can we assume that these luminaries are the suns of other universes. Everyone's kind of following this a little bit? All right. So basically what's being said here is that the sun, the moon is a star, and we say there are many stars in the sky, so that means the moon is like the other stars. But generally, Western astrology or astronomy says that all the stars in the sky are other suns. Yes? Generally, we understand that the sun is a star and all the other stars are also suns. That's the idea. And that the moon is a moon. It's a different planet circling a satellite. Yes, like that. Satelliting or circling around the Earth, orbiting. Also, the idea is that the sun is stationary and we are all going around the sun. The Vedic perspective is that the sun is actually going around us. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada says, nor can we assume that these luminaries, meaning the stars, are the suns of other universes. Because there's only one sun in this universe, and that's the sun that we're waiting to see sometime today. And if there were other suns, they would have to be in other universes. For each universe is covered by various layers of material elements, and therefore, although the universes are clustered together, we cannot see from one universe to another. In other words, whatever we see is within this one universe. In each universe, there is one Lord Brahma, and there are other demigods on other planets, but there is only one sun. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Gurun Shiyuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivazadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So class finishes at 9, correct? Is that right? Okay, so these verses are very technical, in case you didn't notice. Extremely technical. And to be honest, when I first looked at these verses, I wanted to say, never mind, I'm not going to give class. And I thought, maybe I'll just go somewhere else and read something else from the Bhagavatam. But then I remembered a class that I heard once where one senior devotee was explaining that every single word in the Srimad Bhagavatam is packed full of potency. Every syllable, every letter. We know that Srila Prabhupada explains that even if someone just touches the Bhagavatam, their life becomes transformed. And this speaker was explaining that in the Bhagavatam there are also sections, sometimes whole chapters, sometimes even two chapters, where it's just the entire ancestry of someone. And it's a reading of names. This one is the son of this one who had got married to this one and had like five sons and they were named like this and then they got married. And most of the names, at least for a Western person, you can't even read. You can't even pronounce properly. So the first time I was going through the Bhagavatam, I was like, we're going to move on past that one. I get the point. The second time going through the Bhagavatam, I had heard that class and I thought, no, I can't skip this part just because I don't like it. It's not for me to decide whether I like it or not. This is the Bhagavatam. This is non-different from Krishna himself. This is Srila Prabhupada, transparent via medium of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being dictated to by him, giving me knowledge that will purify my heart and help me to understand God, to become God realized. So I have to make the endeavor to read it, even though I don't like it. Because it becomes what we call in the West, pick and mix. Anyone knows what pick and mix is? Yeah, if you go to a sweet shop, you get a bag or a basket. And there's lots of different sweets. And you go through and you're like, you pick what you like, and then you mix it up in the bag. And then they weigh the bag and you get to leave. In spiritual life, sometimes the tendency can be to also pick. We pick what we like and we pick what we don't like. And we think, I'll do this because I like it, and I won't do that because I don't like it. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't have a natural inclination to do certain things. By nature, we will certainly be inspired to do certain things. Of course, Srila Prabhupada often coined this phrase, which you hear especially leaders and managers use all the time. Anyone knows the phrase I'm about to say? Do the needful, Prabhu. Right? So we also hear that a lot. Do the needful. And Prabhupada coined this phrase. But at the same time, we will have a natural inclination to certain things. But we have to be very careful if we're just picking and choosing. And of course, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Everything can be engaged in Krishna's service. The idea of mixing, we also can mix in our devotional life, right? Because sometimes, believe it or not, people can become bored with spiritual life, bored with devotional service. One devotee's eyes are like, really? How can anyone get bored? Yes, I can't imagine how you can get bored. There's so many opportunities for things to engage in. But sometimes we get bored and we think, oh, I already read that. I already heard that. I already know that. I've been there and done that. I am knowing this. I am knowing that. And then we may want to mix in some other masala, some other spice, you know, to make it nice, to make it tasty, to make it, yeah, oh yeah, that. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't utilize other things in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada was so expert at utilizing the principle of yukta vairagya, you know, the dictaphone. Who used the dictaphone before Srila Prabhupada? You know, now you go to any of Prabhupada's rooms in different places, you see immortalized now is this dictaphone. Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have one of Prabhupada's dictaphones. And Vrindavan, we were just there, you see Prabhupada's dictaphone. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the printing press, you know, the Brihad Mridanga. So things can certainly be used in Krishna service because they're ultimately all Krishna's energy. So we have to become expert at doing that so we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But as Srila Prabhupada said, we have to know how to catch the big fish without getting wet. So we have to be careful with this pick and mix. So with sections like this, we may want to skip over. But actually, it's sections like this where we should realize that, no, this is a space where I should just accept that I should read it. And maybe it won't make sense, because probably a lot of it didn't make sense, what we just read. And we may also wonder, what is the relevance of this section to me? How is this going to benefit me? But we just have to have faith and understand that every syllable of every word in the Bhagavatam is beneficial. And I can get my entire spiritual life out of every section. So for me, once I gave up the idea, I thought, okay, I have no idea what I'm going to speak because I'm not Sadaputta Prabhu. I'm not Forbidden Archaeology, Michael Cremo. Huh? Judhakarma Prabhu, I'm not any of these devotees. I even started looking at Gauranga Darshan Prabhu's book. I thought, I'm not Gauranga Darshan Prabhu. I'm actually nobody. I have no idea. But I thought, anyway, let me actually dive into this section of the Bhagavatam and try to get my spiritual life out of it. Because I'm here. The Bhagavatam is here. The words of Srila Prabhupada are here. Everything is perfectly conducive to me making some spiritual progress. So like this, I try to understand a little something. So we have 15 minutes, so I'll make it brief. Otherwise, I have 5 pages of notes, but I'll just condense it. Because once you get into the Bhagavatam, you get into the Bhagavatam. And I find it like, this sounds a little mundane, like playing some video games. Like you start do 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 do, and then it's like you got to fight with the mind, and then you get some little bing, yeah, some little nectar fruit or something, and you're like, ooh, that's tasty. So then you fight a little bit more with the mind, you dive in a little deeper, and in the Bhagavatam, sometimes there's these little portals. You know, secret portals where all of a sudden you're reading something and you think, what is up with this? But then you're transported into another lila. Or Srila Prabhupada in his purports takes you to some other pastime or some other idea, some other topic. And you're like, wow. And then sometimes you pull your head out of the Bhagavatam or the books like an hour, hour and a half later, and you're like, whoa, that was amazing. And you just want to dive back in again and swim around, you know? It's like anyone's ever been swimming? Anyone's ever been snorkeling? You know what snorkeling is? Like you put this thing in your mouth and the goggles. Anyone's ever been scuba diving? Yeah. How about submarining? I always see reading Bhagavatam, studying like that. You can stand on the beach and look at the water and be like, that's very nice. Or you can go for a little swim and get in. Because it's like the ocean of devotion, right? Or you can put on some goggles and a snorkel and you can really look inside and see what's going on. But if you get the scuba gear, then you dive deep. Like, right, Nectar of Devotion, it says we should be like sharks swimming deep in the ocean of devotion. Not necessarily eating the other fish or any human beings, but we should become like sharks. And then if you get the submarine, then you can go very deep. Not like going to the Titanic like that, but we can still go deep. So we dive in. So this section of the Bhagavatam is very amazing. And the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, because all of the cantos of the Bhagavatam are compared to the limbs of the Lord, to the body of Lord Shri Krishna. First and second canto is the lotus feet. Third and fourth canto, the thighs of the Lord. And the fifth canto is the navel of the Lord. Yes, the navel of the Lord. So imagine when you're reading the fifth canto that you are looking into the navel of the Lord. Now, what happens from the navel of the Lord? Of course, from Krishna, ultimately from the navel of Vishnu, what comes? The entire universe comes out of the navel of the Lord. The lotus sprouts, Lord Brahma appears. So Mother Yashoda looked into the mouth of Krishna and she saw the entire universe. We can look into the fifth canto, which is the navel of the Lord, and we can see the entire universe. And if we look close enough, we might even see ourselves looking into the fifth canto, which is the navel of the Lord, and realize, oh my God, I'm in the universe looking into the navel of the Lord. We can lose ourselves, and then we have to pull ourselves out. So the fourth canto finishes the conversation between two great personalities. Who are those two personalities? Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Wow, what an ecstatic conversation they had. Whew. Wouldn't it be nice to have like been a little bug on a tree somewhere like, whoa, listening to Maitreya Muni and Vidura discuss the Bhagavatam. And then it picks up in the fifth canto with an inquiry from Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadev. And he asks him about a specific person. Anyone remembers who he asks him about? Priyavrata Maharaj, yes. Who is the son of? Swayambhuva Manu, yes. And Shukadev Goswami has already been explaining a little bit about his brother. Who? Uttanapad. So the fourth canto is all more or less about King Uttanapad, and he speaks first about the exalted son of King Uttanapad, who is Dhruva Maharaj, who also, by the way, got his own planet. You know, so just see in devotional service. Actually, I knew one devotee. He came to me in London, And he was saying, we were talking for some time, I was cultivating him, but he was fixated on the fact that he kept, at the end of every conversation, he'd say, yes, but can I get my own planet? I said, you can get whatever you like. Krishna will give you what you deserve. But best is you just chant Hare Krishna for now and see how it works out. So Dhruva Maharaj got his own planet. And then also the Prachetas, so like that. And then fourth canto finishes. Fifth canto, he inquires about the characteristics of the oceans and islands that were created by Priyavrata's chariot. I mean, amazing. So Priyavrata had a chariot that created the different islands of the universe. So many different things. In Jambudweep, the middlemost island, Bhumandala, the nine Varshas, the heavenly Boma Swarga, eight smaller islands that surrounded all of these things. So then this section of the Bhagavatam is all about the geography of the universe. Mother Ganga, Mount Sumeru, and finally Bhumandala, and then the vertical structure of the universe. So I'm not so good with geography. I do realize that I'm on the west coast of India, but if you put me out in a car, I wouldn't have any idea where I was going. I'm not very good with geography. I never have been. But the important thing is that this is not just geography for geography's sake, or the material universe construct just for the sake of understanding the material universe. But what I got out of this were that there were four reasons or four ways to look at and understand this section of the Bhagavatam that I'm reading. And the first one is that actually this is part of Sambandha Gyan. This is part of Sambandha Gyan, understanding the universe. Prabhupada says knowledge is to understand what is spirit, what is matter, who is God, and what is the relationship between them. So one of the aspects, the four aspects of Sambandha Gyan, is understanding the self, understanding God, understanding the universe, the material world, and then the relation between all of them with Krishna, with God. So this is actually part of Sambandha Gyan. The second reason that I understood is that we also have to understand that this is in relation to Krishna. This universe is his aparashakti, his separated material energy. Bhumira po nalo vayur kamano buddhihira vichad. This is his separated energy, the material world. And as someone was saying the other day in our group, that in the material world, it's a perfect place, it's the perfect illusion to forget Krishna. The material world has been so expertly devised that we can completely forget Krishna. We cannot see Krishna anywhere. Scientists are very expert at explaining everything in such a way that removes God altogether. But if you take the time to look at even one flower for just a couple of moments, especially around here, some of the flowers are so unique, you just think, how did that just come out of the dirt by chance? Where did this come from? It's so artistic. Last night, Ratki Rani. Ever since I've been coming to India, whatever, 25 years or 23 years, something like that, I've been coming to India. There's this aroma that I have not been able, I feel like the musk deer searching for some fragrance. And I always thought it was this or that or some other thing. And last night I was near the ashram and I was like, where is that coming from? What oil are you burning? I want this oil. And they said, no, that's not an oil. That's coming from the night queen, the night jasmine. And I was like, what? Where is it? And then they took me, we went searching through the field to find this bush, and it was like this aroma. And it only emits that aroma at night. Who told it to do it then? Who told the flowers to only emit that aroma at night? And who told, okay, maybe someone told one of them, but how did they communicate and tell all the others? I mean, it's mystical. It's magical. It is beyond description by just science how the material energy and the material world is functioning. It's incredible. So actually, the material world is created so expertly to make us forget Krishna. But if you understand Krishna, then you see how the material world is so expertly created to help to amaze us of the Creator. Amaze us of how Krishna, I mean, we think, you know, what is it? Airplanes go, what, 400 or 500 miles an hour? Maybe 600. Race cars go like 200 or 300 miles an hour sometimes. What did we say earlier? It was like 1 million miles an hour or something crazy. 19 million miles an hour the sun is moving. I mean, that's unfathomable. The distance that's being traveled. All of these things, actually, when we read it, we should be reminded of Krishna. How amazing Krishna is. Then also, it's not just his material energy, but when we hear about the material universe, we don't dive into the material universe just because it's intriguing or it titillates my intellect. But actually, the material universe and all these explanations are pulling us to understand there is Krishna, there is the material universe, and then, oh yeah, by the way, there is me. And what am I supposed to be doing here? What is my sambandha? What is my relationship with this place? What are my duties? I'm meant to be here not to just enjoy the material energy, but I'm meant to be here to engage with Krishna's energy in order to offer some seva to Krishna. I'm here to perform devotional service. I'm not here just to enjoy the material energy or to be scientifically excited by the material energy. I'm here to perform specific duties. I have a dharma to perform. So when we read these sections, we can begin to think and understand, what is my duty here in this world? What is my function? And then the last point that I extracted or pulled out or wanted to share was that Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are speaking. Now, please forgive me, but if I had 7 days to live, I would tell Shukadeva, can you skip over this section? Right? I've only got 7 days, my dear friend, Gurudev. Can we please just get to the 10th canto? Haribo, to the pastimes of Krishna. But Parikshit Maharaj is not as selfish as me. Parikshit Maharaj is selfless. And he's selfless because he realizes that this conversation with Shukadeva Goswami is not just about him. It's not just for him. Actually, most of the conversation in the Bhagavatam is for us. But the gathering around the conversation of Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is filled with persons who are not necessarily bhaktas. And if you understand that before Shukadeva Goswami showed up on the scene, Parikshit Maharaj was speaking with some of the other sadhus. And they were all arguing and bickering amongst themselves about what is the prayojana, what is the goal, what is the purpose, what is the point. So they were all discussing and giving so many different things. There's some really beautiful books called Brilliant as the Sun. I don't know if anyone has read them, by Krishna Dharma Prabhu. So amazing the way they lay it out. But the beginning of the second book, the second canto, he gives an entire dialogue that's like 6-7 pages long of the different proponents of the Sat Darshans, all arguing, no, my way is right, your way is right, this one, no, it's like this, it's like that. And you can imagine Parikshit's like, I just want to hear about Krishna. I just want to hear about bhakti. So it's described that the mood of Parikshit is that his inquiry is also so that all of these other persons can be enticed to accept what Shukadev Goswami is speaking, to have faith, to believe more in what he's saying, so that he can lead them to a connection with Krishna, to the process of bhakti. So this knowledge isn't necessarily meant for, directed for the bhakta, for the devotee. Although if you are a bhakta, then you can find Krishna inside of it. But actually, a lot of this is being spoken because there are 10 topics. This topic is, which of the 10 topics is this? Sthanam. And sthanam means? Position. So, it also mentions Visharga, secondary creation, Sharga, the original creation. So all of these things are mentioned, which, to be honest, a lot of times bhaktas or devotees don't get a lot of nectar out of. Second canto, the first time I read it, I was like, God, will I ever get through this? But then when I went back and read it again, it was like, wow, this is like my favorite canto now. So much going on. So if you're a devotee, you get it out of it. But a lot of the conversation that's going on with Shukadev and Parikshit, Shukadev is explaining to qualify the Bhagavatam as the Bhagavat Purana. Because you have to cover these topics for it to be accepted. Like the installation of Krishna Balaram, those around said, you have to do it like this, you have to do it like that, you have to follow certain rules, certain rituals, certain processes, certain procedures. All the residents in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, no problem. And then he set up a kirtan party who were just doing kirtan. And he said to them, actually, the installation of Krishna Balaram is happening where? In the kirtan party, with the kirtan party. All of the other things we're just doing so that they feel like this works, that this is bona fide, that this is for them. It's not that that's also not bona fide. It is also a bona fide process. But in Kali Yuga, the real yajna is Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I will conclude there, as it has gone past 9 o'clock. So I've gone over time. So please forgive me. I don't know if anyone has one reflection or one question. Otherwise, thank you very much for the wonderful opportunity to be able to speak, for forcing me to push through my own mind so that I tried to find Krishna and in this section of the Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.